I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Box Set Pod. First things first, this may sound a little bit weird because this is Matthew Wandless. That's right, the animals have taken over the zoo. I'm in charge this week, so no bullshit, no fucking Jack. No work experience kid coming in here and taking up 4 minutes of our time with his, you know, ideas about who Bran is and what points I should get. Who the fuck does he think he is? No, in all seriousness, Jack, thank you very much for your contributions last week.
He's not listening.
Of course he is. He's here to, you know, to hear the reaction and hear the millions of fans. Anyway, let's introduce the other guys. So basically, Howell couldn't get into the normal place where we record the podcast from. So now I have reverted to the old setup I used to use for my old podcast. And yeah, I'm in charge. I'm the overlord. But yeah, with me this week, as always, is Howell Evans, live from Manchester.
Hi.
How you doing?
Having a great time.
And Jamie Atherton.
Good evening.
The man himself with one hand.
Can I just say, this is brilliant.
This is brilliant. Do you feel like the weight of the world is off your shoulders?
There's two emotions, right? The majority of the emotion is I'm sitting on a chair in front of my fire and all I've got to do is react to what's going on. The other emotion that's starting to grow is it's been this easy for Jamie and Matt for so long. Yeah. And slight resentment, a bit like Daenerys. Well, my eyes are going to bulge with vengeance.
I'd like to add an observation as well. I think, Matt, you're steering a very clear and
Jamie.
An enjoyable ship. I'm happy to be aboard.
Heavy
it's
is
a
the
steady
head
ride.
The crown,
it's but, a steady ride.
You know, I will take the spotlight. Reluctantly, yeah. Now that it is thrust upon me,
like Jon Snow,
exactly.
Are you hosting
like Jon Snow?
Week, Jamie?
Oh my gosh, this is a perfect metaphor for Daenerys and Jon. Except, I've never had the pleasure of banging Howell.
and but, who's Jamie in the equation? Theon.
I'm Tyrion. Tyrion.
No way.
Of course I am.
Tyrion wouldn't be doing a show down a 20-quid laptop from Tesco. No chance.
That's true, he's a Lannister. But yeah. I think you know who you are, Jamie. You're Bronn.
Oh, I'll take that, yeah.
I tell you what, before we get into the episode proper, Howell, you've got some comms from the world at large. Yes.
So, we got a tweet, which is lovely. You know how much we love feedback. Alex Bell, thank you so much for tweeting us. After many years in radio, Jamie and I really, really don't get bothered by angry messages at all. We just enjoy being talked about in any way. Guys, says Alex, the tedious Game of Thrones talking points, the Game of Thrones points tallying leaves little for actual episode analysis. What started as an aperitif has become the main dish. It's becoming equally dull. He said, we skipped forward 20 minutes to this point. He says, a screenshot. And you're still going on about it. Actually, Alex, as I've pointed out on Twitter, within that 20 minutes, we did actually announce that you'd won £1 million, provided you claim it within 3 days. It's a shame you missed that bit, but there we go. He then replied again, I literally have nothing better to do than wait for, listen to, and respond to your next podcast. Until then, -3 points. For the autocorrect typo in your tweet. Small potatoes, perhaps, but rules is rules. So clearly I spelt something wrong, but I couldn't be bothered to have a look at. So thanks, Alex.
Well, thanks, Alex. Go on, sorry, Jamie.
No, you go.
Well, I was going to say, I sent this text message minutes after we finished the podcast last week. I said, guys, we have to be careful with how much time we're spending on the points. That thing from Jack is disastrously long. And I feel like we've just dampened the head of steam we've been building. And
I'd like to say that even the best of series like Game of Thrones have an odd lull. Let's just say that.
Exactly. It's very hard to maintain the level of excellence that you so aptly wanted to demand from us.
Yeah. You
know, we do strive to be the best, and we've never made it yet. But I'm confident that one day we'll all get there together. Anything else in the mailbag?
No, nothing else this week, apart from I can tell you that our listening figures are up week on week. So stick that up your arse, Alex. No, that was too far.
I think I shall stick that up my arse, actually. I'll take that one. I'll take that particular statistical suppository. So let's dive in. I think that scene between Bronn, Tyrion and Jaime was the best scene of the series thus far. I really enjoyed it. How about you guys?
Yeah. I think I predicted that he... What did I predict? That he would kill them? That he would turn on them?
I don't know what we said about that. I think we all said that Bronn wouldn't actually kill them.
But he is the money man. He is the ultimate money man. And he did what everybody else did in this episode. Were you guys slightly disappointed with this episode?
Yes. I mean, I'd like to start with, as an overview, what was your feeling about this episode? Because for me, this was the weakest episode of the series so far.
I'd like to think that they're setting us up to, but like Helen said last week, to subvert our expectations.
I was just going to say my
fears came true this week, which was... they've reset everybody. So after an incredible journey in the last 2 weeks, they just went, okay, Sansa grew up as a little snitch, and now she's broken her word to Jon and snitched on his secret. Jaime had this affair that was incredible, and then within the same episode, 20 minutes later, going back to Cersei. Because Cersei might be winning. Everybody reverted to their original selves, apart from Daenerys, who, as I predicted, is growing more and more vengeful to the point that her eyes were popping out this week. She's become total vengeance now because of the death of her dragon. So are they going to subvert all that? That's the thing. Will Tyrion be right? Will she be the right queen and make the right decision? Are we going to be surprised? Jaime Lannister probably going to kill Cersei, maybe. Maybe they're doing it on purpose, but you know, I just found it going backwards.
I mean, before we get into predictions, just in general as an episode, what did you think of this episode? And in terms of the context of the series,
just going backwards, just resetting everyone's characters.
Right.
This is very interesting because I actually quite enjoyed this episode. there were some aspects of it I didn't enjoy, but those were mainly to do with kind of suspension of disbelief stuff. Like, I just got annoyed by the fact that Daenerys didn't spot the entire Greyjoy fleet just behind that cliff
from the
sky.
Although, Matt, she didn't know they've created the weapon. They didn't know that they've created this map. Oh, yeah, they did.
They saw it when she burnt the Highgarden lot. So they've done very well with their giant crossbow production. I mean, this is stupid suspension of disbelief stuff, which really, if you can't put to one side, you shouldn't be watching Game of Thrones. But nevertheless, they're now firing these things fast enough to obliterate an entire boat in like 30 seconds. It's like they've invented the machine gun suddenly. And then you get to the walls of, I didn't even know where that was. That was some part of King's Landing, but Red I don't know King, where it was. Red,
yeah. What yeah, was that? With and seemingly that... 20 men standing on the other side, like there was any kind of threat. But also, it's the first time we've ever seen that wall, entrance.
The ship battle itself, like they annihilate one ship, maybe two. They just backed off then and left the rest of the fleet to get away and somehow managed to catch Missandei in the water. There was a lot of bad storytelling, and I've accused Walking Dead of this at times in the past. it just felt like, what are you, why are you cutting out important parts of the of this particular story that you're kind of trying to tell, and just cutting to them arriving on the shoreline, and then Missandei is there in Cersei's clutches,
and then arriving out the gates. And in, with all of that time they spent, that was like an hour and a half episode or something.
It's but this is the, Tyrion got away as well, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously a very aqua, streamlined dwarf.
Yeah, very good jump into the sea. Great little
water, those,
blue screen sequence there. But, you know, there's a couple of things on Twitter that have been trending that you probably saw. One was the Starbucks cup. That's pretty funny. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Great, love that. Just love it. The second thing is Sansa's line about rape and essentially domestic abuse, where she said, "If it wasn't for those things, I wouldn't be who I am today." This is deep, but what do you guys feel about that? People really up in arms about that, saying that's saying that in that way. I can see what they meant, but. I wouldn't have grown up kind of thing. I didn't read it that way, but I think it's also just about triumphing over adversity,
and obviously it's a very emotive subject, and I can understand why people might have been a bit
I just feel like they needed a line back to her saying, no, you survived it because you're a strong woman, you've not become a strong woman because of that, you know. That's the difference.
Yeah, but anyway. I mean, I think that we're asking. I mean, I didn't take any of that away from the actual dialogue, but I understand that people with different experiences to me might be offended by it. But I don't think that, you know, the show. I think Sansa's just trying to convey the fact that, oh yeah, she's been through a lot of shit, and she's a strong person. I don't think she was trying to sort of like say, oh, I needed to go through all that shit to be who I am or anything.
Well, but the problem is that's how she put it. And it's another example in this series where I keep saying, was that the final draft? And that's what's annoying me, is I feel like if someone had read that and made that point, they could have just altered it with a couple of words, you know, and avoided that. And it just seems sometimes like actually and Sarah was really annoyed that the White Walkers disappeared so quick and we didn't learn anything else about him. It feels like almost like the need to keep this series short has had really some negative effects.
That's what I was going to say as well. Like, I think this was a first episode I felt that they were a victim of the 6-episode situation that they've set out, because like this series has got so much to fit in, arguably more than any of the other series. Yeah. And yet it's less episodes. And I just don't understand the logic. I don't mind them doing an hour and a half episode with 10 episodes of it. And I just don't understand, like, how, you know, they've spent 3 episodes on the walkers and the build-up to the battle. And this episode felt like, holy shit, now we've got to move. It's all about setting up the next war, the next battle. And it was so much they had to go through. There was like throwaway lines like, oh, Yara's taken back the island. And it's like stuff like that where you kind of go, you are just literally. And this is what, and it's interesting that you liked this episode more, Matt, because for part of my problem, I thought season 7 was a bit like this episode, in that I thought it was a little bit trying to move things around too much and just constantly trying to set things up for later on in the series. And I'm a big fan of season 6. That was my favourite one. So it's just, I just felt like this is the first time they've dropped the ball.
I mean, when you think about it, when you think about it in terms of length, I know it wasn't quite as long as an hour and a half, but essentially you watch movies that are this length. Does it feel like you covered that amount of ground?
You know? Well, you're not going to find a lot of movies that are 70 minutes long these days.
No, true.
And I do agree that, logistically speaking, this feels like a bit of a misstep in the sense that, they're 66% of the way through the series now, and it doesn't feel like they're that far through the narrative that we're all going to want. So they're basically, we've got episode 5, big fucking battle at King's Landing, episode 6... admin wrap up, and that doesn't seem like it's going to cover everything I want it to cover. But I don't know. I mean, I'm just taking it at face value. I enjoyed the scenes. I like that Brian and Jamie got together. It's nice, you know. Everyone deserves to. I'm sure he's pretty good at snog? Sex. You know, I'm sure he's had quite a lot of sex. I'm sure she had a good time with him.
Did you see the kiss?
I mean, it was dreadfully short.
Oh my God!
It's one of the most awkward things I've ever seen in terms of seduction. One of the least sexy scenes in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, a couple of woodpeckers going at each other, wasn't it?
I mean, you know, I can't think of the actress's name, but she's a little bit of an awkward actress.
She's not fantastic. I mean, I like her, but she's...
Yeah, have you watched the second series of Top of the Lake?
No.
I've been meaning to watch that, actually.
She's in that, and she plays a very awkward police officer in it, and I think that's her sort of she gives off that kind of demeanor, doesn't she, that aura of being someone who's quite sort of uncomfortable socially at times. But yeah,
so
I was happy for them.
With Elizabeth Moss,
yes, yeah, set in New Zealand and Australia. So yeah, I was happy for that. There's little moments that I really liked in this episode. I always do, because I love the moment where they're all having their knees up, and Tormund, my favourite, steals so many scenes when he went over to them and said, "Who just shat in my pants?"
That was everything I said about Tormund based on that line alone. That was
so
brilliant.
I did enjoy him this week.
How did you feel when Jamie then got on his horse and buggered off, though? Did you feel that was earned?
I'm not entirely sure what's happening there. Like, is he going back to try and talk Cersei off a ledge and reason with her? Is he going back there to kill her? Or is he going back there to stand by her?
Because that speech he gave to Brienne before he left was going on about how I'll do anything for Cersei. I'll save her. I'll kill hundreds of people for her. It felt to me like he was going back. Initially, I thought maybe he was going back to kill her, because that's my prediction. But he's going to go back to save her, isn't it?
No, I think you're right. I think you're initially right. I think he's saying she's a monster and I've been a monster, and now I'm going to redeem myself. That's how I took it.
Yeah, that's what I thought, first of all. Yeah, someone convinced me that it might not be, though. But yeah,
no, he said she's bad and I'm bad and I've been bad from the start. It was a speech of an addict. He was saying, "I am addicted to Cersei. These are all the things that I've done. So see you later." But I think you might be right I certainly hope that that's the subversion that they're going to do. That we're going to look back at that speech and go, he's trying to... the predictions about Jamie dying, I feel like what we could be looking at here isn't a hero's death. It's a hero killing Cersei and thereby redeeming himself from the original pushing out of the window of Bran. You know, that Jamie might get to survive by finishing off our biggest enemy.
I don't think he'll live. That felt like a speech of a guy who's about to die killing Cersei, you know, in the act, because he didn't sound like he was coming back, that's for sure.
I don't know. I think he might end up trying to trying to talk her down, and then she'll end up having him executed by Cersei again.
Yeah. Oh. Hey, what's the name of the one who Cersei kidnapped and pushed off the wall?
Missandei.
So this is the final other thing that's been on Twitter a little bit, is the treatment of people of colour, of characters of colour, and that Missandei was one of the few and got beheaded. I don't care about that. The actress who plays Missandei has said she just wanted an impressive ending and she got one. But did anybody care enough about that character for the stakes to be at all high?
I think the only person who cared about that character was Grey Worm, really.
Yeah.
Daenerys is just really using her as an excuse now. You know.
That entire scene, the whole thing, Tyrion walking towards the wall, I didn't buy. Cersei grabbing her arm as if maybe she was going to let her down. Didn't buy that for a second. Knew she was going to chuck her off. I didn't really care about her getting her head chopped off that much. Everybody in the scene was always more emotional than me.
Yeah.
Just the whole scene didn't wash from...
Yeah. Yeah, it was more about watching, like you said, Grey Worm and Daenerys going through the turmoil of watching what was... You know, it's watching Daenerys... sink deeper and deeper and spiral further and further into this vengeance.
Mm. And did you catch Grey Worm's angry face in the background?
No.
Yes. Very, very tightly pursed lips. Like, so tight that only an Unsullied could get them that tight.
You can hear the director going, tighter!
Crushing nuts between his pursed lips. You know,
so are you two going to award me some points for my prediction for this series, that, that Daenerys will become more and more embodied by vengeance?
Then maybe next week.
Yeah, I think we're still... I mean, it's, let's face it, Howard. It could be a twist. There could still be... Daenerys could be like looking like she's heading in that direction. And then she turns it around and she's like, guys, come on, you know me. She's
well, after past. All, our hero Tyrion has said he believes she'll make the right choice, but I don't think so. Well, I don't think we've got the time.
Well, the whole reveal, like this whole thing about Jon Snow's heritage lineage coming out, the secret, that was also really ridiculously, like, it just didn't last at all. From like the moment he told Sansa tells to Tyrion tells the person whose job it is to gossip. I mean, it's like how idiotic is that? It's like,
but again, but I think the point there again was the reverting to type, because he swore his allegiance to Daenerys, and his whole core has always been I act in the best interests of the people and of the realm, and I think that's why they did that, is everybody has reverted apart from Tyrion, who's kind of still clinging on to his word, you know.
And what my problem is, I don't think Tyrion would have told Varys. Like, I think he knows telling Varys would probably have been a bad idea because of who he is. I don't understand why. That felt like he's just trying to force through this, you know. Obviously, the next, I mean, I imagine the next one is going to be the big battle, and Daenerys and Jon are then in a position where in episode 6 they have to decide who takes the throne, and there's a growing consensus that it should be Jon because the news is breaking that he is an actual Targaryen. So
we also had finally the scene where, you know, the aunt and nephew almost get it on and then go, ew!
Yeah.
Yeah, they kind of did, didn't they? But I don't know if they broke off, because there seems to be no remorse about that aspect of it. I know I keep banging on about it, but they just don't give a fuck about fucking their relatives. They're just into it.
No, and I'm all right with that. If they decided in the end to get together and be king and queen, I'm quite happy with that. I'd be very pleased with that result.
Yeah,
you know.
You endorse that?
Yeah. Oh, I don't give a shit. What harm can it do? Crack on. Gene pool's already sullied enough in that world.
But like okay. Tyrion and Varys said, it won't,
I mean,
you know,
hang on,
the,
sorry,
the North...
One sec, Jamie. I will take a certain amount of mispronunciation of names on this, but his name is Varys, all right? He's not Varys. He's not Varys.
Okay, all right. It takes a potato.
I mean, I've already noticed that Howell has taken to saying Aya instead of Arya because he spelt it A-I-Y-A in the...
I thought her name was Aya.
No, it's Arya. Stark.
Come on, Howell.
Yeah. Oh.
All right, Varys. So you've kind of made me really self-conscious now, right? Him and Tyrion actually said though that it would be frowned upon in the North, any incest in that way. So I think that, you know, I don't think they're going to end up together on the throne doing it, because I think that the North will go, John, what are you doing? She's your auntie. Stop it. So I imagine that won't happen.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, you know, veering slightly towards the points, I am erring on the side of giving Howell a bunch of points for the divisiveness, because even if it's not between the two of them so much, like this, the whole schism that's opening up in the world underneath them is very real now, and it's it doesn't look like there's any room left for small potatoes.
Yes, no small potatoes. I did cut out there. Ironically, I cut out the first time Matt Wanless has actually potentially issued me points, but I'm back now. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Yeah,
yes, there we are. Okay. Yeah, it's big potatoes. I mean, we could take a step back here and say, is it too much to say that all of the problems in this world that make the entire story comes down to people shagging their relatives? or illegitimacy, and therefore a large resolve would be for everyone to go, well, let's just chill out sexually, let everyone bang whoever they want to bang.
I didn't really see it, but I've got it.
I mean, it's definitely a message. Yeah, I mean,
as Varys said, you can't really have the public knowing that aunt and nephew are banging away on the throne.
Yeah, but he is going to go and spread the news, though. Now, right? We all accept that. That's his. He's betraying Daenerys.
He's
that's
not
the
a
next
news spreader. I don't think that's the way his job works. He's a keeper of secrets, really.
But he's always talking about his little birds, isn't
he? Yes, he's a gatherer of information. They give the information to him. He doesn't necessarily pass it around.
And then what did you take then from that scene? What do you think Varys is going to do now? Because he certainly suggested he's not going to stay loyal to Daenerys.
No, I don't think he will do, but I don't necessarily think that means he'll start telling loads of people. I think he might take matters into his own hands and trying off Daenerys.
Yeah, and you've got two hands, okay. One of which is saying one thing, one of which is saying the other. One of them, yes, her right-hand man and her left-hand man.
Are they both hands? Only Tyrion's the hand.
Oh, right, okay. Well, advisor, whatever. But you've got the two of them, and one of them is going to have to back down or kill the other one.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, I can see Tyrion killing Varys to protect Daenerys.
I think that maybe it'll be taken out of their control, but certainly setting up Tyrion as the one that has the belief means that it's almost the purpose of that scene might be to make Tyrion the one who is ultimately going to have to be kingmaker or queenmaker, you know, and ultimately at some point I think Tyrion will have to go, no, I'm sorry, darling, you're no good.
That's a very good piece of Dinklage there.
Thanks. Some of his words in this episode were pretty badly pronounced, I thought.
I
can't
love
remember.
His voice. I've gone through various stages with it, but I've come back to love. Do you think they're also doing this thing where they're tightening focus onto a certain band of people? It feels like we're done with Sam now. I think he's just ridden off into the sunset with Gilly. I don't think we'll see him again.
Yeah. He's got to die, I think. I think he's got to die.
No. I don't think he will. I think he's done. I think that's really finished for the series. That was
maybe
his resolve in the last episode.
Oh, yes. Now the secret's got bigger. Yeah, there was a point in this episode that I thought, well, Daenerys' best plan here is kill Bran and kill Sam and potentially kill Jon. You know, there's still that plan, I suppose, but you can't really kill Bran because he's already dead.
Well, you know, don't go all Jack on me. His name's still fucking Bran. what do you think? Is it just going to be about these, you know, the last few pieces on the board? I mean, what's happening with the Hound and Arya?
Well, yeah, that's they're off to finish the. She's off to kill the remaining people on her list, which is the Mountain and Cersei. And he's probably He said he's got unfinished business, which is probably with his brother, isn't it? So.
Yeah,
either they're going to share the fight between them, but that's going to be intriguing. That's going to be fascinating.
I like them on the road.
I was disappointed though that not more in this episode was like, oh, are you? Wow, what an amazing performance! You know, like she pretty much won that war for them.
Yeah, three cheers to Arya.
That was it, wasn't it?
Well,
yeah,
that
was it.
She sort of deliberately took herself out of the whole thing.
She's not, like she said, she doesn't like being the hero thing, but I just thought maybe John would be like everyone was like celebrating Jon Snow. All he did was shout at a dragon. I don't understand why everyone was going, oh, you're amazing, John. It just felt like that was a bit forced. But they should be going, oh, yeah, what an incredible ninja she is, eh? Do you know?
Yeah, they should all just be gobsmacked for like 3 days.
Yeah.
And also, to criticise the writing from another angle, you know, sometimes when we talk about the age of fairness and equality in terms of female stuff, you know the bit when she said,
Sorry, I just love that phrasing there. The age of fairness and equality in terms of, you know, female stuff.
Sometimes in shows, I'm noticing, and everybody's noticing, that there are decisions being made that perhaps aren't very nuanced. They're pretty on the nose. And one of those things was, I felt, was when Arya got oh, Arya got proposed to. What did we think of her refusal? It just felt to me like I could have written the line before she said it, that it was like, I will not be a lady. Well, you don't have to be just marry me. You could do whatever you want. You could like go off. Well, you know, is there not a more nuanced version of Arya? And it just feels like, well, J.R.R. what's his face would never have written that line.
Yeah, but I blame Gendry. I think he went in too strong. I mean, they've only had sex once. Like, you know, just a few more dates. So let's meet up in King's Landing, and then, you know, just take it easy. But he went in straight with like, "You want to be my lady?" That was never going to work.
Yeah,
he was pretty much drunk on Dragonstone, wasn't he?
Yeah, but that's also, fair fairness. Yeah,
switch the roles around for a minute. So let's say this is a young prince who shags a girl just before battle because this might be their last chance. And the next day she says, "I love you. Will you marry me?" And he says, "No." This is not equality. Not unless you've set up Arya as somebody who is incapable of finding a third way of doing things. And yet she is the exact character that finds a third way of doing things. You know, she always takes the road less travelled, which means that in that situation, she could not have completely crushed his heart. She could have actually done something special there. Yeah, I just keep coming back to this thing of Helen saying last week, Game of Thrones is really good at subverting our expectations. This episode did not subvert any of my expectations. It reversed them. It put them in rewind or didn't surprise me in any way.
Fair enough. I mean, don't you think it would have been a more conventional choice for her to say yes, though?
I think she could have said yes, but that's my point. That she could have gone, "We're going to do this a different way." You know, yeah, something know rather saying, than patting him on the head.
Admin inherent with being a lord or lady of Dragonstone.
Yeah, totally. I think you've got to do wages.
It's basically a bookkeeping job when it comes down to it.
Well, then the third way would be that he says, "Then I relinquish the knighthood that I've just been, the lordship that I've just been given, and we go and live how we want to live." That would have been the third way, I suppose. Instead of just, "Oh yeah, okay, then well, I'll go and do the traditional thing, and you go and behead some people."
Maybe I don't have a problem with her saying, "Nah, I'm just too much of a badass for this. I've got to go and kill some people, and I don't really have time for you. I got what I wanted out of you, and I'm off now."
Fair enough. Yeah, she's allowed to do that. I just felt like maybe it was done. It was just a bit crowbarred.
Hal, sorry to bring in the admin, but would you mind turning off your camera? Because it's like this sort of scary...
What? Is it on?
...little ghost keeps appearing up in the corner.
So sorry.
That's okay. It was there we just go. A minute ago, there was this kind of mad, abstract kind of flesh in the corner.
Inside of my ear.
It was really freaking
bad. Oh. You've just been looking inside my head for
that's
the last 5 minutes.
That's what it was, and that's how terrifying it was, and that's exactly how it sounds. Yeah.
Okay. So should we award points for this episode?
Well, I mean, I hate to bring out a big, hammer straight away, but Howell, what you predicted last episode was that it would be Cersei centric. You said at least 40% Cersei, I think, and I don't think she came into it until about 10 minutes from the end. She was barely in it, and given how much of a gimme that appeared. That Cersei would be the focus of the episode, having not been in it for two. I think you deserve quite a hefty penalty.
Right, well, let me counter that argument by saying Cersei was the focus of the whole episode because they were all aiming toward her. It was all around getting to Cersei. And you two, particularly Jamie, predicted there would be zero Cersei. So maybe 40% is too much, but certainly 20% is better than zero.
I didn't hear that.
What?
Jamie said there would be no Cersei. I did not, because you said the whole thing would be at Winterfell.
I said that the majority of the episode will be there, but I'd seen a teaser with Cersei in it, so I wouldn't have said she won't be in it entirely. So that sounds like a fabrication from Howell Evans.
I think we're going to have to go back and listen to that.
I'm saying I might have been wrong. I wasn't right. I thought she'd be in less than she was in that episode. So I will accept that as a point.
Just going back, I was looking at the points the other day, and I noticed on the list of people, whether they'd be dead or alive, when it comes to Jon Snow, Jamie says alive, I said alive, Howell says dead, and there is in brackets, I will give you £10 if you're correct. And then I went further down, and to the question, who will sit on the throne, if it is one throne to rule them all, Howell's put Jon.
Yeah, I firmly believe that.
So he'll die, but be on the throne?
No, I think that's called spread betting.
Well, you've also said you'll give us £10 if he's alive.
It's so difficult, isn't it? I think when I said that, I was really expecting you both to wager something on something. At the moment, we're playing around a card table where I'm the only one that's put a tenner in the middle.
Yeah, but the point is, you did put a tenner in, Hal.
I look forward to receiving it, yeah. It does look increasingly like Jon will be on the Iron Throne. And I said Daenerys at the start of the series, and I think I'm going to be wrong about that. It looks like the odds are stacked up against her, which I don't like. I don't like the fact that this is the direction it's going in. I don't like that she's suddenly becoming a prick.
She's not. She's been becoming a prick for series. This is what I was trying to tell you.
I don't think she has. I think it's all happened in the last, I don't know, 8 episodes or so.
Go back to the first scene of her. I'm telling you, you'll see it. And when she arrived in Slaveville, whatever it's called, Morocco-looking place, right from then, it has always been her wanting to be cruel and saying that she wants to be a good leader, and other people around her tempering her. And as time's gone on...
She was confronted by a nation of slavers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she
freed them, and immediately questions were being raised about has she created them or has she adopted them. It's always been about that. Well, if you free a people but then you make them call you queen, are you actually freeing them? They've had that debate loads. I'm telling you, it's been there for ages.
I don't feel like, I mean, maybe I'm wrong because you've watched it more recently than me, Hal, but I don't feel like Daenerys was ever going in. I think you're right, Matt. I think that they've pushed this direction of the character for the last... Yeah, and I'd say like part of season 7 is where it started to feel like they were heading that way. You know, it was literally just after Tyrion became her hand and they started to head towards getting Cersei that this has been the trajectory she's headed on, and I didn't see it before then, and I'm disappointed with the way it's going. I'm hoping that there's going to be a switcheroo. It's going to somehow turn around, and she's going to be like, no, I'm going to do this the damn right way. I was just effing with you.
Do you really think that George R. R. Martin,
why does no one know anyone's name?
Do you really think that Tolkien has not said to them, here's the whole point?
I don't know. He's probably a consultant, but
in every series, Jon Snow will talk about being a man of his word. In every series, Daenerys is wrestling between how to be a ruler, and is it cruelty or is it fairness? By the trajectory, I've got issues with the script and how they're structuring it and how fast they're going through it. But I'm not surprised by this at all. I didn't say
I was surprised by it. I said I don't like it.
Yeah, disappointment is, you know.
But I feel like.
But I also don't think it was there from the start, is what you're saying. I don't agree with that.
Oh, it was. It was. But we'll agree to disagree until you watch it again.
Well, I'm not going to watch it again, I'll tell you that now.
Oh, what? Well, I will be watching it again. And I'll get back to you.
I'm going to leave it on. Game of Thrones again. My God, series 2, 3, and 4 were pants.
I remember when we first started talking about Game of Thrones, when Jamie was talking me into watching it. And even back then, Jamie said to me that the writer had stated that he's happy to carry on writing it forever. That he's not going to end. And this was his thing. And when you think about those first few series and the problem with the White Walkers that we've just been discussing, it really is, it has been a challenge for the TV writers to wrap it up because these actors can't be in it forever. And that's why things like the White Walkers feel like they've been cut. Because when you think of those first few series, the number of directions that it went in, the amount of ground that was covered and new ideas and new lands and all of that, they've had to tie up so much. It's impossible. Yeah.
I am disappointed that we've lost Dawn entirely.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's Dawn?
Dawn is the area of where the Martells came from, where the Red Viper dude came from, and the woman who killed Marcella.
I do not understand a thing you just said.
Honestly, do you watch the show? You sit here purporting
I just have name blindness.
And like, oh, look at the arc, look at all the stuff that's happened. And it's like you've only watched 20% of each episode.
You have to talk in terms of, like, you know, the man with one hair, one arm or whatever.
Right, the one who had his eyes crushed out by the mountain, you remember that?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He was from Dawn. His name was Oberon Martell, and the Martells were the family who rule in Dawn, which is like a desert place.
Right.
And then three of his sisters or something, three of his relatives turned up. They were all kind of like crazy badass assassin.
Yeah. The Charlie's Angels of the world, yeah.
Sure.
I remember that.
Yep, equality and women stuff, yep.
That's
and,
right.
And they killed Marcella, Cersei's daughter.
Yeah, they lived in like
choky stuff, and then Euron Greyjoy captured them on a ship, and I believe Cersei murdered one of their daughters in front of them because they did that to her.
Yeah, I don't miss them.
What?
Never liked them. I never liked them.
Oh right, okay, good.
I'm glad they're gone.
Good. Okay, great.
I think the you know the point. About the many strands of the show, it was always going to be a very violent jerking of tying it all together. It was going to be quite violent, abrupt, and maybe slightly clumsy. And I think they've made it harder for themselves with the whole 6-episode thing. It's just putting themselves in a really tough situation. I understand that the reasons for that are probably because both writers are working on a new Star Wars storyline. Yeah, they're going to be creating a new
that explains why we didn't have time to do a new draft. It certainly feels like, remember when that government took, I think when the Tories took over and someone had left a jokey note saying there's no money left in the office. Do you remember that?
It was like
to somebody, the treasurer or something, it said there's no money left. It feels like taking over from George Thingamabob is a little bit like that. It's like, holy shit, we've got
to
do
what? Overall, though, on the series, I think I'm really enjoying it still. I think this was a bump in the road. I'm hoping that next episode, I mean, what I'm hearing on the word on the street is that the next episode is going to be an absolute epic. Like, truly, I mean, I don't want to get our hopes up too high, but it's going to be a monster. And,
I mean, when you talk about
bump. I don't
like
the idea that this whole series is built around these huge battles.
Yeah, I know what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, because it used to be about really interesting debate and history and stuff. But even so, when Jamie talks about bumps in the road, compared to the bumps that we talked about in Game of Thrones, in Walking Dead, for example, you know, on the graph, Walking Dead was Everest compared to the issues that I've had with this one, I think. You know, the swerves that the dives that series has taken compared to my nitpicking with this one.
Yes, Howell, I love hearing this.
That is not me going back on the fact that this one has got the budget to end all budgets, therefore I have higher expectations. That's why I'm picky about this one, because I'm going, you've had this long and you've not made a funnier joke than that. You know, you've had how long, and you could have sent it to three comedians who could come up with a funnier line than the one you've just delivered.
It does seem
delivered.
Crazy to me that the idea that they would rush this. I don't understand the 6-episode thing now. Because I remember when people were talking about this series, I always had it in my head that it would be 8. And that seemed about right. Yeah. 8 90-minute, well, or at least up to 90-minute things. That
seems
like
money.
Enough time to do it. Now I feel like there's no way that they can in two episodes wrap this up in a way that I'm going to be like, great. Yeah, that was really good.
That's just money, though. That's just contracts, and that happens in a lot of series.
This is Game of Thrones, though, man.
I know, but it happens in so many series where if you look at Friends is the classic example, but you know, once actors are integral, their agents can demand huge amounts of money for them to stay in it because we can't possibly lose any of those characters. And if you do a 6-episode deal, it's very different from doing a 10-episode deal. And that's why these things tend to happen.
It is, but I mean, obviously I've got no access to anything that would indicate one or the other. But I can't believe that this show doesn't make enough money that they could have done 8. I can't believe that.
Well, I think the annoyance for me is not perhaps so much that they did the 8, but just that the over 2 years, the writing is the thing that I've got most problem with, not the acting or the set or the lighting or anything. It's the writing, and writing is free. Doing another draft is free. Just, you know, 2 years.
I don't have the same issue with the writing, though. I think it's been a lot funnier than you've, yeah, I mean, you've not found it as funny or as enjoyable. It's not just funny, though. It's been really compelling, and there's been some really good moments between characters that I genuinely love. I've had all of that. I've had some great feel. This episode it feels like it should have been, like you said, something like 2 episodes should have been fleshed out of this one. I think the writing suffers from the fact that you are trying to fit so much in. And I think they're not very good at that. They're not very good at, okay, now let's done. Now let's start moving shit around. You know, it's like they're on that. They've got that big war map out, and they're sort of trying to push everything into place. And by doing that, they're kind of clumsily missing important bits out.
Fair enough to all of that, apart from your point about comedy, because you're a comedy fan and you're a bit of an expert on comedy. Writing a joke in Game of Thrones is like making a joke at a funeral. It's very easy. And it's easy to recognise when there's a joke, and therefore you laugh because you go, it's levity. The jokes on their own.
You're never going to agree on this, though. You can sit here all day saying that's funny and that's not funny, and someone saying, yes, it is funny, and you saying, no, it's not. It doesn't matter. It's entirely subjective.
I just don't buy that Jamie's slapping his thigh quite as much as he would be if this was put up against any other joke in history. That's all.
Well, I mean, you know, that's not the standard it has to live by. The standard it has to live by is it a funny? Is it funny in terms of watching a drama in a fantasy world that is compelling, as funny moment? That's fine. That's fine. I'm not judging it as a comedy, so it doesn't necessarily have to live up to certain standards in that way.
It doesn't have the same sort of tone to it as something like the way the Marvel films have done it, where they do undercut the moments of intense drama with that kind of nerdy humour that they have, which is very funny at times.
I
think it served them very well, but if they suddenly started chucking in real zingers in Game of Thrones, I think it would be kind of weird.
Well, zingers in context. Who just shit my pants is hilarious. His story in the episode before is not. That's what I'm saying. Even by its own standards, that is very funny. Who just shit my pants funny.
I didn't really notice it, but I mean, I've never thought the writing was particularly good on this show, but it's had its moments. But that scene between Bronn, Jaime, and Tyrion, I really enjoyed. I thought it was great.
Yeah, that was nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it was nice to see them all. I think that might be the first time I've seen. Oh no, have they all been together before? Probably have. I can't remember.
God, but
not for it
was
ages,
just though. Jaime and Tyrion haven't seen each other for God knows how long.
So what are we giving anybody any points this week?
Well, no, I don't think we can. No one had any predictions of Matt Missandei. I definitely think Howell should lose points for saying this will be a Cersei episode, because it wasn't.
I agree.
And you said it would be about licking wounds and, what was it? Counting the dead, that sort of thing. I mean, I guess that happened, but I think that deserves half a point, maybe one at the most.
Thank you.
I agreed with that because I thought that was obvious, and obviously I was wrong about anyone dying that didn't immediately obviously die. But it was kind of an inconsequential episode, which I guess is a mark against it in the end, and maybe I didn't enjoy it that much. Maybe you've convinced me.
Damn it.
Maybe I missed
it. Broke out again.
Well, you know, Listen back. You can catch up later.
Yeah. So what's the result?
Nothing really happened. You lost a bunch of points, but that, you know.
Yeah, the usual. Course.
Come on. Yeah. Come on. I should get something for Cersei being there. And no, I said it would be an A-team episode.
Cowell, you cannot get points for predicting that a major character in the show will be in the episode.
No. No.
Why not?
You can't have that, Howell.
Because that's ridiculous.
Listen, there's a good chance, Howell, you've got a big payday coming if your Daenerys plotline works out, okay? So just save down. Just cool your jets, okay?
Yeah,
keep your powder dry.
Well, I'm going to listen back to next week where Jamie says it's going to...
Did you hear that, Jamie? Howell, you can cut out there.
Oh,
Wow, it's like the podcast world just
doesn't get the evidence
want,
for next
the
week.
Podcast world doesn't want what you're trying to say to be heard. You've got it out twice trying to say it now.
If you can hear me, I'm going to get evidence that Jamie said it was all at Winterfell.
Okay,
well,
you
I can't
do
wait
that.
To hear that because it didn't happen. Okay. Has anyone watched anything else this week before we wrap up? I've carried on watching Mindhunter. I'm enjoying that. It's good.
Good. Yeah. Good.
I've been watching the season finale of Line of Duty.
Yes,
which is worth a mention. But that was disappointing. I was very disappointed because Monday night, I watched both the Line of Duty finale and the Game of Thrones fourth episode, and I found both of them very disappointing. And I was so excited. I was highly pumped.
I felt that Line of Duty was.
It's amazing what it's like the Skype channel is editing the podcast for us. It's incredible.
It's like, anytime you try and give an opinion, Howell, it's cutting out.
It's just like, no one wants to hear it. Forget it.
Thank you.
I actually watched a different finale of Line of Duty. I watched the finale of the very first series. My wife's going through it. I can't be really bothered with it.
Okay, I'm back near the Wi-Fi, right?
Well done.
Yeah.
I've watched a couple of scenes in it. Like, I was doing some work and she was watching it. And I was really struck by how clunky some of the exposition is in that show. And half listening to you guys talking about it a couple of weeks ago, but now I understand what you were talking about. It's real moments where it's like, so this is happening, and then this is happening.
Yeah.
That's right, because of this.
It really is a bizarre show like that. Like, does some scenes just so brilliantly, and then does the most clunky, obvious, like, EastEnders-type dialogue that you've ever heard. It's phenomenal. But what I was saying before was I thought that the last episode was really brave in its form, because it was essentially a stage play. It was virtually the whole thing was a conversation, which was great. It was like a round table discussion. But actually what happened, I was disappointed with.
Well, that's the thing. If you look at the end of the series before, this is what they do. This is what Jed does. He does the last episode is usually a big interrogation scene that gets flipped around and that the real bad person is somehow also in the room. So they end up, you know, and I feel like that technique, that's sort of, he's got a very particular way of delivering these twists. And then there was a ridiculous twist at the end around the whole red herring that has been Who is H the entire. Yeah. And that was ridiculous and terrible.
There's a lot of explaining. Sarah's watched,
that would be brilliant.
Sarah's watched every series of it, so she's got quite a good context in it. What do you think of Line of Duty?
It'd be great if it was a full box set and you could watch the next one straight away.
Yeah.
Set up for the next series.
Yeah, it felt a bit of a letdown because it did. The payoff was a setup for the next one. Yeah.
Well, yeah. So this isn't like a final finale. It's just
making a tit of yourself.
That was a good line. When she said, piss off and stop making a tit of yourself to the officious one.
She's the best thing in here, isn't she? She's very good, Vicky McClure. But overall, and there's going to be one more series, Matt. I assume it's one more. The ratings are huge. The show is massive. It regularly just beats everybody out, like Bodyguard did. So it's going to do well again, and it does hit the audience happy, intriguing points that keep you coming back.
Yeah.
So I will come back, but I'm just disappointed.
How will have you watched The Victim yet?
No, we haven't started The Victim yet. No, no.
Come on.
But we will. Yeah, I know.
Come on.
I know. I've
been watching a bit more of Working Mums as well. That's a good show, that.
Sorry. Yeah. Yeah, needs to do that.
I'm quite excited. There's a show coming on Channel 4. It's also got Stephen Graham in, which is interesting. It's called Virtue, I think.
Okay.
It's written by
I've gone Shane.
No, you haven't. You're still here. Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
It's written by Shane Meadows.
Oh, great.
It's meant to be brilliant. It's meant to be like Stephen Graham's best ever performance. It's called The Virtues, and I think it's on in a couple of weeks' time, maybe even this week. But it's meant to be very powerful. So watch out for that one. That's coming up.
Very good. Good. Right.
Was there any other business?
I don't think so.
That'll do.
That's
good. Right. Well, I think you did a sterling job, Matthew.
Hey, thanks.
Do you want to be permanent host?
No, I mean, I do like the fact that I get to record with a nice microphone this week, but I'm worried that there'll be some kind of audio peccadillo that I haven't thought of yet because I was rushed.
Let's find out.
We'll find out, and if there are, then I apologise in advance.
That's all right. I've had a great time. Thanks for having me.
If you've enjoyed the show, if you want to respond in any way, it's studio@theboxsetpod.com. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
studio@theboxsetpod.com. You can tweet us, find us on Facebook, or send us a telegram, carrier pigeon, or stand outside my window with a torch.
Slag us off on Twitter like Alex did at the Box Set Pod.
Please
go
slag
to
us
town.
Off because they love the attention and so do I.
If you could slag Matt off, just Matt, that would be even better.
I think
be like...
I'd love to hear any messages that you have about how well hosted this week's was and how well we managed the business and all the admin because obviously that's my forte. Nothing exciting, just the busy work.
Quite.
Right.
Yes.
Thank you, Howell.
Okay.
Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you, Jamie.
By the way, my mark out of ten for the episode was 7 out of 10 for this episode. So just to put that in there. Did you want to give your marks quickly?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think we even gave marks to The Long Night.
Well, I gave that a 10. I've given 9, 9, 10, and this is a 7.
9, 9, 10, 7. All right, Howell. What was your mark for The War?
Oh God. I can't remember.
Remember
it was all quite
dark last week. Flaming Arax, but dragons. You know. Stuff.
Last week I'll give a 9. Last week 9 or 10. This week 4.
4.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Oh, wow, it's brutal. Wow.
Stink bomb.
Yeah.
If I was marking this, I'd say must do better.
I'll give it 6.
Okay. Very good.
You know.
Wow.
Yeah. Solid 6.
Brilliant.
Right then.
Yeah. Thank you, Jamie.
Yeah, thank you.
And goodbye.
Yeah. Bye. Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.